In church groups, we have an amazing resource that is going to go hand in hand with what we're doing on Sunday. So I do want to stress and encourage you to get in a church group so that you can maximize this whole series that we're doing. Okay, so we're talking about following Jesus, following the way, finding the narrow way, building some ways of life into our lives. And so we're talking about prayer right now today, and I'll be talking about it for the next few weeks. And we're also talking about prayer in our church groups, and it will be different content in church groups to what we're talking about here. Because when I was thinking about it, I was like, man, I could preach on prayer for 2 months. Like, there's a lot. And what we want to do, it's we want to put tools in your belt so that when you go to pray, you don't, you know, if you hit a brick wall, you're like, that's okay. I've got some more tools. I've got some other things that I know, other ways that I can communicate with the Lord. And so that's what we're trying to do here. Give you tools in your belt so that you can know God more for yourself. Amen? So church groups, do it. All right. Thank you, Jesus. My husband and I, we met at McDonald's. That's fun, isn't it? We were a Macca's romance. And when he was... He was training me to be a manager, as you do, and one of his sayings was the 5 P's. Prior planning prevents poor performance. And so he was all about, like, he would teach me how to think. He's like, I'm going to teach you how to plan so that you're set up for a win. So, you know, I've carried that through my life. Prior planning prevents poor performance. It's done me well. Hallelujah. And last time I talked about the heart posture that we should come before the Lord. Do we remember that? It's a few weeks ago now. But when we come before the Lord, we should have a heart posture that's humble, that's contrite, and that carries the fear of the Lord. If you want to attract God's attention, He's looking for hearts like that. Today I want to talk about just preparing to pray. Preparing to pray is what I've called this message. And for a lot of you in this room, this won't be new information, this won't be revelation for you, but sometimes we can forget the simple things. And I know there's new believers in this room, and I want to make sure that we cover ground so that everyone can be prepared to access what Jesus paid for. Does that make sense? So when his disciples said to Jesus, teach us to pray, what did Jesus do? He said, pray like this. Say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. The first thing I want to point out, the obvious, but it's very important. Number one, God is your Father. God is your Father. And God is for you. He's not against you. God knows your name. He's got your number. He loves you. God is your Father. So you're not approaching a stranger. You're not approaching someone that is not interested in your life. You are approaching the person that weaved you together in your mother's womb, that knows every single detail of your life. And sometimes I feel like when we approach the Lord, we come with our checklist or we should do it this way. When we're like, just go to your dad. This is your dad. And I know you haven't, I know that not everyone in the room has had an awesome dad. And so I'm sorry if you haven't had an awesome dad. I had a pretty awesome dad. And there's no trepidation when I come to my dad. There's, you know, he lives a million miles away, it feels. But when I call him, I'm not like, oh, should I call my dad? Oh, like, should I say this or that? It's just like, no, I call my dad. And I expect him to pick up straight away, actually, on the second ring. I expect him to, like, pick up, and I expect him to be engaged and excited about what I want to talk about. I want to tell him about everything going on in my life. When I'm sad, who do I want to call? I call my dad. When I'm happy, who do I want to celebrate with? I call my dad. When I've got something going on, when I'm confused, I call my dad, right? And you might not have a physical father, but you have a heavenly father that's way better than any earthly dad, because he's not going to let you down. He's not going to turn you away. He's not going to get it wrong. He's not going to give you fleshly wrong advice. He's going to get it right every time. And he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's my father. That's your father. And so when we come to the Lord, come with a heart posture of, hey, Dad, here I am, Heavenly Father. The other amazing thing about our Heavenly Father is that he has put on flesh and walked on the earth. So we're not engaging with a father that is distant and doesn't know what it's like to be in a body on the earth. I think that's really important to think about. Hebrews 4:16-17, it says, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace in our time of need. We have a Father that put on flesh and became a man and walked on the earth, and he was tempted and he went through trials and he got tired and all of the he got weary, he probably got frustrated, right? He had to deal with people. He was pressed for time, all of the things that we come up against. He was betrayed, right? He knows what it's like to be on earth. And it says that Jesus, he sympathizes with our weaknesses. That means he understands your weaknesses. And sometimes we don't even come to the Lord because we're got this internal thing, well, I'm not worthy. Or I was thinking about that before, and so you feel shameful or whatever. But it says there, Jesus sympathizes with our weaknesses. It means he understands your weaknesses and he has compassion for you. Praise God. So we need to tell those lies that come to nick off. Because what does this say? We have a great high priest who's already passed through the heavens and made a way for us to engage with God in a place of prayer. And Jesus, like I said before, he's gone through everything that you've gone through. Everything. All the emotions. Sometimes we just think about the sin, like he was tempted with sin. But like, no, like he also, things like stress, worry, anxiety, These sorts of things, confusion, doubt, fear, anger, frustration, weariness, loneliness, distraction. Do you think Jesus ever had to deal with distraction? Yeah, absolutely. Tiredness, limitations of the body, right? All of the things that can keep us from engaging with the Lord, Jesus he knows what it's like. So when you're feeling weak and you're feeling like it's hard to engage with the Lord, you remember, no, I have a great high priest who's experienced this like I'm experiencing right now, and he's passed through the heavens and he's made a way, and he has compassion on me and he loves me, and you remember the love of God, right? And then what does it say? With confidence, draw near. With what? Confidence. Like I said, when I ring up my dad, I have confidence he's going to answer me. Every time. And if he doesn't, I have confidence he's going to call me back. Right? With confidence, the Greek word, parrhesia, it means free and fearless confidence, cheerful courage, boldness, assurance. Free and fearless confidence, cheerful courage, boldness, assurance. That's how we come before the Father. Yes, we come with humble hearts, but we also come boldly into the throne room. Here I am, God. Every morning I make my cup of tea and I go in my room and I close the door and I'm like, here I am. Father, I'm here. This is your time and my time right now. And I come confidently and I expect that he's present and he's listening, even if I don't feel anything in my body. Right? Our feelings do not dictate whether God is in the room. The word dictates whether God is in the room, and it says he is. Right? It's very important. Do not let your feelings determine what your prayer life looks like. Otherwise, you'll never get started. You'll never finish. You'll get taken out. Right? It's important. So we draw near. The very act of prayer is a practical way for you to draw near to God. And how do we come again? Confidently, boldly, come on. Cheerful courage. And then it says, what do we receive every time we come? Grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. It says that you'll receive it. Right there in the word. Grace and mercy. What is grace? It's not only God's unmerited favor, it's God's empowerment. He's going to help you. You're going to receive the grace of God to pray, the grace of God to do what you need to do that day. Like, I expect it every time I come to pray. I come with boldness and I'm like, thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy being poured out on my life today. Mercy is compassion, forgiveness. His mercies are new every day. So whatever you're facing every day, there's fresh mercy for you. There's fresh grace every day. Whatever your struggle is, whatever you're going through, fresh grace, fresh mercy every day. Oh, it's good, isn't it? What a great Father. The second thing that I want you to like tattoo on your brain, so God is my Father, I can come boldly, he's got grace and mercy for me. The second thing I want you to tattoo on your brain is God already knows what I need. God already knows. I was really feeling this scripture very strongly this week. So I'm just going to read it because someone in the room needs to hear it. Matthew 6:25. This is Jesus speaking. He's preaching a ripper of a message. And then he says, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? We'll just say that again. Are you not of more value than they? You are valuable to the Lord. You are valuable. He looks after the birds, but how much more will he look after you? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? No one. I'll tell you the answer to that question. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. We need to underline that in our Bibles. Sometimes we forget. God knows already all of the needs, all of the deep cries of your heart. He knows it all. What does it say? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. God knows what you need. It's not wrong to like come before the Lord and talk to him about all of the things that you might need in your life. But he also knows what you need. And sometimes a good way to come into a place of prayer is just ask the Father, what do I need? Because sometimes he knows that you need something that you didn't know that you needed. I'm not going to say that again because I'll probably mess it up. Sometimes like we come into prayer and we've got, our brains are so busy with all of the things of the world and all of our concerns and troubles and, you know, anyone know what I'm talking about? And so you come and you've got your list. God, I need to take this up with you. I've got this stuff. One word from the Father changes everything. So I actually love to be like, Father, what do I need today? What do you say I need? And I love to align, you know, my thoughts and all of the craziness going on in my head with what the Father's saying that I need. You should try it sometime. Because when you start receiving what the Father says you need, you'll find that all of the other things, they'll work themselves out. We're going to go to Philippians 4. This is a well-known scripture, but it holds a key for us in us preparing ourselves to pray and even entering into prayer. Philippians 4, 4 to 8, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Someone say that. Everyone say that. The Lord is at hand. Where is he? At hand. Therefore, we can come boldly with confidence. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. He's there. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. In what? Everything. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. All right. So, he's like, don't be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. What's supplication? It's requests to the Lord. With what? Thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God will be with you. So we have this golden key, and it's called thanksgiving. And it's something that sometimes we forget to use. But it's right there. It's right there. And it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will be given to you if you bring your prayers, your supplications, and thanksgiving before the Lord. I think sometimes we're really good at bringing our stuff and we forget the thanksgiving. So I want to encourage you, when you're getting into a place of prayer, to posture your heart and posture your voice, verbalize it, in a place of thanksgiving. Psalm 100, verse 1 to 5. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. Oh my gosh, it sounds like he's our father. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Oh my gosh, it sounds like he's a good shepherd and he's going to take care of us. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever and his faithfulness to all generations. We're talking about feelings before. Sometimes it doesn't feel like God's presence is there. If you want to feel him more, golden key, thanksgiving. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. One of the fastest ways into the presence of God and consequently into a place of prayer that is powerful and fruitful is thanksgiving. First Thessalonians 5, it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So what does that look like? How do we put wheels on that? A few years ago, it's more than a few years ago, it's probably nearly 4 years ago now, I'd just taken over, we were probably like 6 months into just the transition of me taking over as the leader of this church, and I was having a day. I was probably having a week, a month. It felt heavy. I felt heavy spiritually. I was like, God, I don't want to do this. And COVID had hit. And so there's the swirl of COVID going on. There's all, you know, there's opinions flying left, right, and center. There's, you know, division, not necessarily in our church, but just a division of opinions and everyone having an opinion. It was heavy and hard, and we're trying to do church on Zoom and it feels clunky and just all of the things. And I was feeling heavy and I was feeling down, and I don't think that my thoughts were I don't know. It was just hard. It was a hard time. And I got into the car and I was about to put a podcast on and the Lord said, no, I just want you to talk to me. And it was a decent drive. My sister had the audacity of moving to the furthest point in Palmerston from my house. So it takes me half an hour to drive to see my sister. And so I was like, okay, yes, I'm going to talk to you. I don't feel like talking to you. But nonetheless, I'm going to come boldly and talk to you, Lord. And so I'm driving along and I was just thinking about, man, it would have been so easy for Adam and Eve just to have the physical form of God. And they're walking with God in the cool of the evening and they can hear his voice with their physical ears and they're in his immediate presence. And I was just like, oh, take me back there, Lord. Take me back. And the Lord said to me, he said, Naomi, it's easy to walk with me. It's easy to walk with me. And he said, I want you to tell me why. Tell me why. Tell me why it's easy to walk with me. And I was like, ugh, okay, yes, it's easy to walk with God. And I start thinking about that in my spirit, start meditating on it. I'm like, it's easy to walk with God. Yeah, it is. Thank you, Lord. It's easy to walk with you because sin's not in the way. You've like removed sin. And so it is easy to walk with you because I don't have a sinful nature anymore. You've made me clean on the inside. You've removed my sin as far as the east is from the west. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Whoa, yes, sin's not in the way. Hallelujah, right? And so I was like, yes, God. And then the Lord was like, what else? What else? And I was like, are we playing a game? Are we playing a game right now? And he's like, tell me what else. And I said, okay, yes. You've taken my sin away and you've given me a brand new heart, a heart to know you. Like you've given me a heart that can know you and have communion with you. I don't have a heart of stone. I have a heart of flesh. You've given it to me. Thank you, God, for that. And he's like, yeah, what else? What else? And I was like, you said that my sheep hear my voice and as strangers they won't follow. So God, I can hear your voice. I might not hear it with my ears, but you speak to me in my deep in my spirit and sometimes like little thoughts in my head and sometimes like I see pictures because you're giving them to me. And sometimes you speak to me through other people and oh my gosh, you speak to me. Thank you, God. Thank you that you speak to me. And he was like, yes, I do speak to you. I'm speaking to you now. How amazing is that? What else? What else are you excited about? What, like, why else can you walk with me? Why else can you walk with me? And I was like, okay, I'm one spirit with you. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says I'm one spirit with you. So Adam and Eve, like, you were next to them, but you're inside of me now. Thank you, God. You're inside of me, the God who made the universe. You're living on the inside, and I'm actually feeling like your presence inside of my body. Whoa, right? And I'm like, thank you, God. That's amazing. And he's like, yeah, what else? And I'm like, I've got your word. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And even when I feel like I can't hear you, or I can't feel you, I've got your word and it leads me and it guides me and it's what you've already spoken and it's amazing. Thank you, God. I've got your word. Oh my gosh. And he said, yeah, what else? And I'm like, oh, I've got a great high priest. His name is Jesus and he's broken through the heavens and he's made a way for me. And he knows what it's like to have a down day. He knows what it's like to feel like the weight of the world on his shoulders. He knows what that's like. He knows, oh, thank you, Jesus. I can come boldly into the throne room of grace to find help in my time of need. Rightio? And the Lord's like, yeah, what else? And I'm like, oh, Jesus is seated in heavenly places. and I'm in Christ, and so I'm seated in heavenly places too. And by the way, thank you, God, that the name of Jesus, it's above every other name. It's above every power, every dominion, everything that's going on in the world. The name of Jesus, and I belong under that name. Thank you, God, it's easy to walk with you. I've got the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So, you know, we're backing and forthing. And it was good. And the Lord's like, yeah, what else? I was like, God, nothing can separate me from your love. That's what your word says. Not my feelings, not my circumstances, not other people. Nothing can separate me from your love. Hallelujah. Yes, come on. I'll keep going. And he said, what else? And I said, you sent me the helper, the Holy Spirit. Oh, and you said that the Holy Spirit would lead me into all truth and teach me all things. Oh, thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you're such a gift. I'm so grateful. Oh, thank you, God. And from there, I was just like, boom, exploding on the inside, exploding. And I was just like, God, you're amazing. Jesus, you're wonderful. Counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I thank you that I'm in you and you're in me. I thank you that you made me. I thank you that I've got this beautiful church to lead. I thank you that even though things are hard, you are greater. Thank you, God. Thank you that you are my strength. You are my portion. You are my shield. Thank you that you're my provider, God. Thank you, God. Even when I can't see what's happening, you can see. Hallelujah. Praise God. Ha. Thank you, God. You restore my soul. You give me beauty for ashes. You give me joy for mourning. You give me praise for heaviness. Thank you, God. You're amazing. You're wonderful. This went on and on all the way to Leah's house 30 minutes later. And by the time I got there, I hadn't talked to the Lord about any problems. I hadn't talked to the Lord about the heaviness or whatever. But man, I was firing. I was like, can we go somewhere else? We could keep going, Lord, because this is amazing. And it's like fireworks on the inside. The Lord had just led me into praise and thanksgiving by reminding me of what I had access to, right? And so I want to encourage you, when you're coming into a place of prayer, start with thanksgiving. Start with thanking the Lord, who He is, what He's done for you, what He's provided for you. Think about Jesus. Think about the things He's teaching you. And really engage in that. Thank Him for what you see Him doing. Because He's always working, even when we can't see it. There's always little bits and pieces. You can see His fingerprints on things. And so you hone in on what you see and you thank Him and you praise Him. And then often He'll reveal more of what He's doing, and He'll take you down this track of revealing more of Himself to you. How good is the Lord? He's the King of the universe, but He's also the lover of your soul. So, yeah, hallelujah. When you come to pray, remember, He's your Father. So come boldly and confidently. Remember that He already knows what you need. And come with a heart of thanksgiving. Let the thanksgiving of the Lord fill your mouth, fill your mind, fill your soul, fill your spirit. Let it overflow, and He'll take you from there. He will. He always does. And you'll probably end your time with the Lord a whole lot less weighed down. You know, I didn't actually need to have anyone pray for me. I just needed to be with the Father, and I needed to remember who I was and what I had access to. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We thank you that we have access to you. Thank you that we can come boldly into the throne room of grace to find help in our time of need. Thank you, Lord, that there's grace and mercy available for all of us every single day. And thank you, Father, that we have the golden key of thanksgiving and praise. Every time we enter prayer, every time, all the time actually, when we're living life, help us, God, to be thankful people. Help us to see what you're doing and respond accordingly, Father, in thanksgiving and praise. Thank you, Father. I just pray for all of us that you would help thanksgiving to just well up in our spirits, that you would help it to well up, Father, within us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for encouraging every person in this room. And I thank you, Lord, that it is easy to walk with you. It is easy to be in your presence. It is easy to pray. And I just pray for a new boldness and a new confidence for us as individuals and as a community to step into that place of prayer and union with you, Father. We thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. I bless these beautiful people, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.